For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo!
Y'all hear the sound of those sirens? That can only mean one thing. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Outsider's Edge podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network. We thank y'all for joining us during this holiday season. This is your boy, Mr. Kyle Moores. I am not joined this week by my good buddy Rance, aka Ray Cash. He is dealing with some personal family matters this week, and we just want to send him all of our love and well wishes. Instead, this week, I am joined by our honorary outsider, frequent guest of the show, friend of the family, Mr. Darren Maggs Kirkby. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, yeah. Honorary outsider, wow. What a massive, massive honor. And yeah, I just want to echo what you said. Much love to Rance. This ain't a Ray Cash social media thing. This is to the guy, Rance, and his family. We absolutely love you, and we are here for you through this horrific time that you're going through. So, yeah, much love to you and yours.
And so we just want to start the show. Just quick apology for our inconsistent show output over the last couple of weeks. It's the holiday season. There are personal matters going on. And so it's just been a little bit difficult. But we have managed to come together and bring y'all another edition of that good, positive wrestling goodness that you needed in times.
Has Outsider's Edge been consistent? I think the only thing consistent is just how inconsistent the show is.
We are consistently inconsistent in our output. That's why we have so many loyal listeners that are here to support our version of hashtag journalism. So, you know, even though we're inconsistent, wrestling is not inconsistent. And we'll go ahead and we're going to start the show with the not necessarily bombshell news, but the mildly surprising news that Kevin Owens has re-signed with the WWE. And Sami Zayn has apparently also re-signed, but like that one didn't surprise me at all. I figured Sami was staying anyway. Mm-hmm. But first of all, what was your initial reaction to KO staying with the company? And second of all, how big do you think the Brinks truck they backed up to Quebec was?
Okay, so I'll answer the second one first. According to Shagger Dave, Uncle Meltzer from Wrestling Observer, he seems to think that the contract is in the ballpark of $2 to $3 million a year.
That's $2 to $3 million American, so that's like $3 to $4 million Canadian.
Yeah, pretty much. So that kind of does shoot to pieces the often told line of WWE making cuts for budget reasons. If they throw in $3 million Kevin Owens' way, but that's not to say he doesn't deserve it. To answer the first question, I was surprised. I think a lot of people kind of expected the jump to AEW to be a thing, especially with so many of his peers going that way. But then when you get down to his reasoning, it makes total sense because he's a family guy. He feels that WWE has become a home for him. He spent a long part of his career there. And when the offer was made, he was more than happy to take it. And I don't think anyone can begrudge a wrestler in these times securing the bag. But
take all that dirty billionaire money you can.
Yeah, but wrestling Twitter does be wrestling Twitter, and the amount of people throwing hate towards Kevin Owens because he'd re-signed with a company that he's been with for the past 6 years. Oh, ridiculous. People saying that they'll never watch another Kevin Owens match again, that they wanted the Mount Rushmore back together. Oh, wrestling Twitter, you make me giggle.
I mean, one of the recurring themes of today's episode is going to be people are really quick with those Twitter fingers.
Yes.
Like, yes. They're really quick to react with these Twitter fingers and say some out-of-pocket bullshit that they would never actually say in, like, civilized company. Like, KO re-signing it somewhat surprised me a little bit, but it didn't surprise me that much. Sami Zayn re-signing didn't surprise me at all. Sami is very much, you know, vocal about the fact that all corporations are evil. All corporations are bad. The best you can do is use the platform that they allow you to do the most good possible. And WWE gives him the biggest platform to do the most good for, you know, Sami for Syria, for his other humanitarian causes. And I bet they back the Brinks truck up for him, too. Like, he's doing a program with Brock right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just goes to show as well that if you work within that WWE system, you can still have morals, and you can still have, like I said, a platform to air your political leanings. Because if it was anyone else bar Sami Zayn, they would have been ousted from that company for some of the things that he said. I mean, he's been clearly against the deal with Saudi Arabia to the point where he wasn't.
He's not even allowed to go to Saudi Arabia because he's ethnically Syrian, and Syrians are banned from the country.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good that the company, even though it is kind of flying in the face of their deal with Saudi Arabia, that they are still willing to back him and allow him to be able to air those political leanings and his viewpoints on some of the horrific atrocities of that regime, and the fact that he's now secured a long-term deal, or allegedly secured a long-term deal, and still knocking around with his best friend in the Hall of Wrestling in Kevin. Yeah, good on him. Like I said, with Kevin, secure that bag. Yeah, and his work with Brock Lesnar is some of the best thing on WWE programming right now.
Hard agree. We'll go from a major re-signing to yet another major release from the company, albeit this one a little bit more on the controversial end for various reasons. So Jeff Hardy got let go from the WWE recently. There had been some reports of some issues with Jeff at a house show recently, and allegedly, according to the reports, WWE tried to get him to go to rehab again, and he refused to go to rehab again. And based on the terms of the deal that he had with them, you know, he refused to go to rehab again, knowing full well that that would probably mean they were going to cut bait. And so they did cut bait, and it was kind of controversial because it wasn't necessarily clear, like, and it still isn't fully clear, like, where Jeff is at in terms of his mental health and his struggles with addiction and all of that. You've got, you know, reports from his wife saying he's fine. And, you know, I, for one, like to believe the family of the person. You've got him making videos with Matt and doing things like that, that would indicate that, you know, he's not falling apart. But at the same time, when you've got someone with the kind of history that Jeff has, where, like, he's actively done time for, like, being caught with hundreds of different, like, substances, that it's always questionable. Like, I don't know. What are you thinking right now? Because I feel really weird about the whole situation.
Yeah, I've kind of flip-flopped on my viewpoint on this. Originally, when the news broke, my first view was poor Jeff. Obviously, he's still struggling, and addiction to things like painkillers and drugs and alcohol is something that is a daily battle for people. It's one of those kind of like hidden illnesses that people have to fight against day in, day out. And my first initial thought was, oh, poor Jeff, he seems to be going somewhere. I'd seen the videos of him leaving the match earlier with on the house show, going through the crowd, and it just felt to me that maybe he had a relapse. But it's not my place to judge, and that's one thing that really started to grind me with wrestling social media, is how quick they were to judge. But then on the other side of the coin, there was another subsection of wrestling Twitter that annoyed me, kind of like painted the picture of where Jeff was going next. And the amount of people who were replying to the reports of Jeff being released and refusing rehab, to say, well, he go to AW. And I was like, come on, give the guy.
If he was released for an actual relapse, the conversation you should be having shouldn't be, he needs to go to this company next. It should be, okay, well, let's try to get some help. Exactly. Or at least take a step back, you know, maybe not be on the road for a little while, maybe go home, reassess, recenter. But like, it's just that like the conversation should not immediately be when we're not certain what's going on.
And this is the crux of the problem, because we were getting the rhetoric from WWE that Jeff had some sort of issue and he'd refused rehab and they had no option but to let him go. And then you're getting the side of Jeff and his wife and Matt and Rebbe saying that he's fine. He's absolutely fine. He was showing up on Matt's Twitch streams, saying that he's been listening to a lot of Wilson Phillips songs, specifically Release Me, kind of like hinting maybe the WWE side isn't all that we seem it to be. And the more I've kind of heard of Jeff's actions afterwards, the more I think this was a play to get out of the contract.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, this feels, you know, when you lay it out like that, it feels very much like an, I wanted out, I didn't want to do this anymore, and they wouldn't let me go of my own accord. So I just, you know, I pulled a me and then refused to go to rehab. Because the other part of this conversation that I want to get to from wrestling Twitter Y'all, you can't force someone to go to rehab. You can't force someone to get help. Sean Waltman had tweeted out, like, I went to rehab 3 or 4 times before it stuck. Because, like, it's one thing to say you'll go so that the checks keep coming. It's another thing to, like, actually go with the intention of getting better and getting help. You cannot force someone to get help.
Yeah, exactly. And
regardless of whether this is a legitimate problem or not, or if he just faked it to get himself released, you can't force someone to get help.
Yeah, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Only he can decide when he's ready to make that change and get that help. And we are only fed crumbs of the story that's going on. We don't know the half of the details that has happened in this. But the more I've read about the story, the more I've heard from Jeff and Matt Sard, it just smacks of him wanting out of his contract, seeing a way to get quickly released and be able to rejoin his brother as a tag team over in AEW. Maybe the grass is greener over there. I wouldn't like to say, but yeah, it just there's a lot of twists and turns in this storyline. Yeah, I fully expect to see him turn up in AEW in the very, very near future.
I also expect him to turn up in AEW in the near future. It feels very much like the play that AEW would pull. He is a legend in the industry. They love to bring in the legends. Matt's already there. So you can have like one last Hardy Boys run, especially because Matt recently went on the Twitters and talked about how, you know, he's kind of done being a caricature of himself anymore, and he's in on Matt Hardy again. So
even though when he first signed with AEW, he was, I have 20 characters that I've never been able to use in WWE, and here are many of them. And the main one was, I'm a parody of Vince McMahon. Brilliant.
I mean, you know, yes, but to be fair, as I argued to Good Brother Rance many a time, and he agreed, Big Money Matt is the best Matt. Big Money Matt is the best Matt. Like, if you include the entire pantheon of versions of Matt Hardy, the only other version of Matt that was even on the level of Big Money is Matt Hardy V1.
Yeah, slam a tornado, Matt Hardy is the best Matt Hardy.
Matt hates mustard. Matt facts Matt Hardy.
That is the best Matt. I'm not very taken with Big Money Matt, to be fair. I just think that faction is bloated, so, so bloated. I'm all for an AEW version of the Hardy Boys. I just think it's a little bit disingenuous if Jeff has used the idea of a relapse to get out of a contract. I think
that's a much more fucked up situation that we haven't really gotten into. And if that is the case, like, damn, bro.
The first thing that was on the majority of sensible wrestlers' minds, wrestling fans' minds, was, "Oh, I hope Jeff's okay." And if he's used that kind of fan love to weasel his way out of a contract that he willingly signed, nobody held a gun to his head. I mean, the parts he put in his contract was he got his own music back, and WWE very rarely get licensed music, and they did that for him. So he made WWE kind of fit those parts into his contract for him to 6 months later want to weasel his way out.
And also, especially in the case of returning veterans who have been with the company before, I don't have as much sympathy for them when things go like the way they've gone before, or when things aren't what they were promised or whatever. And the reason I don't have the sympathy is that I'm just like, you've been through the machine. You know how the machine runs. You know who is genuine and who is not. You know, like, what is genuine and what is not. You know how the creative process is. You know the way that they viewed you in the past or always seemed to. Like, you knew all of these things. So, like, I don't have as much sympathy for you when they fuck you up.
Yeah, once bitten, twice, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, and it's different in a case of like, so I'll use John Morrison as one exception because they did his wife real fucking dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did her real fucking shady ass dirty, and that was not cool. Yeah. Regardless
What annoys me most with the Taya Valkyries, it was a dream to make it to WWE as well.
Yeah, she wanted to be there. She wanted to do it. What pisses me off is just like, and this is, and a little bit of this blame I put on Triple H, legitimately, a little bit of this blame I put on Triple H because of what he turned NXT into towards the end. He made it his little indie fed, and that's great. Taya was TV ready from day one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had no reason to go to NXT.
She should never have been in NXT with the lineage, especially with the lineage that she has as a bilingual performer. Like, you bring her in immediately to the main roster.
Yep.
Like, I mean, shit, you were having a John and Miz dissension situation. And Maryse is back. You could have had so many legs with Taya versus Maryse. Like, the two Canadian, like, wrestlers, and Maryse is an old legend, and Taya is a luchadora legend. Like, there was so much to that you could have done. And, like, that one has legitimate gripe in a way that, like, some of these other, like, returning people who went back, like you said, once bitten, twice shy. It's just like, nah, man, you knew what this was.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to take a quick ad break, but when we return from the ads, we will go from one person getting released to another person who just kind of walked out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thanks for helping us pay those bills, y'all. And if you enjoy the content that we provide here on The Chair Shot, make sure you go to www.prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick yourself up some of that sweet, sweet merch. Get yourself a t-shirt in that soft style. Let it feel so good on your skin.
Oh. The hair stood up on the back of my neck then. That was sensual.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to give the people what they want. Speaking of somebody who chased what they wanted, Johnny Wrestling and Kyle O'Reilly have both made the decision to roll on out of NXT after they finished up at War Games. And I mean, I think we all agree it's pretty obvious that Kyle O'Reilly will go to AEW with everybody else. Because that's where all of the former Ring of Honor NXT guys go. But I'm more curious, what do you think Johnny Wrestling's next move is? Candice is still technically under contract. And like,
yeah, I think they enforced an extension on her contract for time missed, which is something WWE have been doing a lot recently. For me, I think he spends time being a dad.
I could see that.
I've seen a couple of interviews and I've seen bits of his Twitch stream. And this guy has not took a day off from wrestling in 15 years. he was talking about his signing for NXT 6 years ago, and he's been the ever-present. Never
and
gets
you know injured. He had a decent contract. You know, it wouldn't have been, you know, obviously he's not making millions, but you know he made, like, good six figures probably towards mm-hmm. the end.
Yeah, and he's able to use his social media presence to get a decent deal from Twitch, so he's still gonna be making some money. I think he may show up on some indies. I think he kind of it feels like he's missed that part of wrestling. I know he said that. He feels like he's going to be the Candyman of indie wrestling. That if you chant Johnny Wrestling enough times, he's going to appear in the mirror. I think he will eventually end up coming back to WWE in some form, or even making a trip to AEW. He is that good. I know he's been commenting recently saying he thinks that Kenny Omega is the best wrestler in the world and that he would love a dream match with Daniel Bryan, kind of like shooting his shot, which I totally understand. But he's one of those wrestlers that even if you are brand loyal to WWE or AEW or whoever, he's one of those wrestlers that wherever he goes, you're happy for him. Because
absolutely.
He bleeds this sport. He's not. He doesn't seem like someone who politics. He doesn't seem like someone who's wrestled for the money. He just feels like someone who bleeds for wrestling. And yeah, wherever he turns up, I'll be happy for him, and I'll be a massive Johnny Wrestling supporter.
Wholeheartedly agree. Everything about Johnny Wrestling is great. I'm here for it. Good. All the best for him and Candice as they welcome in Baby Wrestling. And like, good on them. But I also want to say this, like, legitimately, as much as I loved, you know, everything that version of NXT was, NXT 2.0 is better right now.
It doesn't get a lot of love in social media. In fact, it gets a lot of hate. But
because of what it represents. Yeah. It gets hate for what it represents, but like, it's so good.
It's what NXT should have been after the kind of game show section, and it started to transition into building future stars. When we got to the kind of Sammy and Kevin, the Samoa Joe, the Four Horsewomen era, when those wrestlers weren't meant to be there for so long. They were meant to be there to hone their kind of a wrestling skill, to hone the way that you work the camera, and then move on to Raw and SmackDown. That's what NXT 2.0 has gone back to.
It's what got mm-hmm. NXT popular in the first place.
Yeah. And we went through the whole kind of indie phase where Triple H was bringing in the cool wrestlers, which was amazing. The wheels fell off when it became the AEW competitor, when Vince saw that how much money was being ploughed into NXT, and he wanted a return on that investment, and it didn't work. So I like the fact they've stripped it back and they're going back to introducing newer characters who are going to be primed for main roster wrestling. And
sometimes less is more.
And you can't tell me there's not some future world champions in that group. Bron Breakker will be a huge star. Tony D'Angelo is going to be massive on main roster. There's some great new characters coming through there.
Well, you just said the most important part of it. There are actual characters coming through again. Mm-hmm. Like, this is no longer, like, as much as I loved the indie guys, they're all seemingly interchangeable. It was like playing with Legos, and you can take the heads off and put them onto different bodies, and mm-hmm. like that is what the old, like, towards the end it started to feel like, when you're just bringing in indie person after indie person after indie person, and the feuds are always the exact same about the same shit, and they drug on forever and never ended. And now there are actual, like, legitimate characters again. Mm-hmm. As we've said a lot on the show, wrestling on its own isn't enough anymore. I need you to, like, appeal to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And to go back to those indie darlings that were brought in, as cool as they were to have those under one umbrella and seeing all those indie dream matches, the issue is that they came in with names and reputations already attached to them. So when Adam Cole comes in, he's known as Adam Cole because everybody already knew Adam Cole. When Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish came in, they were new as Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish because that's who they were. And that is hard for a company like WWE to kind of transition into their own characters.
We've talked about before, WWE has never done well with IP that they have not created.
And that's the rub. And that is the rub. WWE don't want WWE fans, because it's not all wrestling fans, they don't want WWE fans going out and doing homework on the wrestlers that they've brought up, saying, oh, well, I can see that wrestler in Ring of Honor, or I can see his work from PWG, or his work in Chikara.
Even with people, though, that don't have that. Bray Wyatt's a good example of, like, that was a character that Wyndham created, mm-hmm. and WWE creative always struggled to, like, properly execute this IP that was not their IP.
Because they were not invested in it.
Yeah, like, they're just like, okay, great, here's this thing that we didn't make that, like, we don't really understand and we don't really know what to do with, but, like, fans like it, so I guess we have to keep using it, but, like...
And how can we monetize it? Let's design a horrific belt that will sell for $600.
Let's take him, and instead of making him a cult leader, let's give him a creepy... It just came out and was successful, so let's give him a creepy clown mask. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, and so, like, they struggle with IP that they didn't create, and none of the indie guys were IP that they created. Say what you will about their big NIL deal and about this, like, new shift to, we want to get, like, athletes that we can turn into characters and blah 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 blah, but, like, they do really well with IP that they made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, because they're invested in that. They are willing to put the machine behind that IP, with the likes of an Adam Cole, with the likes of, I mean, we even saw it with Daniel Bryan, even though it was a few years before, he had that reputation on the indies, and it felt like WWE kind of stunted that. They wanted him to be a WWE wrestler rather than this indie darling wrestler, and it took a long time for him to kind of break through that glass ceiling almost.
Yeah, and so, you know, now that they are kind of past that phase, and even though it's meant that a lot of, like, really beloved performers are gone, the new people are getting a chance to shine, and they're really good, and it's fun, and it's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and feels it also feels fresh at a time when literally everything feels not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a wrestling fan from the 80s, where all wrestlers were characters. You never knew the wrestlers' real names. They never were themselves turned all the way up, as Jim Ross likes to say. They were characters. So it's kind of like almost the cycle of wrestling where what is once old becomes new again. I like the fact that they've got a mafioso character. I like the fact that they've got a skater girl.
Social justice warrior.
Yeah, exactly. I like that these wrestlers have got characters again, rather than, I'm a real human being and you could follow me on social media, but I've no discernible character for you to attach yourself to.
Well, so speaking of both social media and skater girls,
segue.
Yeah, let's ollie on into the feud between Cora Jade and Douchey Darby Allin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this can be the first of several segments in the end of our show here about wrestling social media and y'all with them Twitter fangas.
Yes. God
damn. So it all started with criticisms of Cora Jade, because Cora Jade comes out with the skateboard,
mm-hmm.
And people wanted to, because this is wrestling Twitter, people wanted to make a comparison of Cora Jade with Darby Allin, which, okay, fine. That's innocent enough. Only for Darby Allin to respond with skating is a huge part of my life, not a fake character for TV, LOL. To which our girl Cora Jade came back with the clapback, being a good person with no abuse allegations against me is a huge part of my life and not just a character I play on TV.
It's so good. I want to kind of paraphrase Adam Pacitti from Cultaholic. He said that Darby came with the part bomb when he dropped to what he said, and then Cora chose violence and just hit nuke after nuke after nuke and just eviscerated Darby Allin with that.
My favorite take on Twitter: Darby Allin called Cora Jade a fake skateboarder. Then she started rapping the opening verse to Hit 'Em Up.
Yes, absolutely.
She went no Vaseline on his ass.
But it just goes to show the kind of the duplicitousness of wrestling Twitter, because for every person in support of Cora Jade, bear in mind it wasn't her that started this beef. This was all Darby Allin. He had no reason
He came at her with some petty bullshit, because here's my thing. It's also some low-key sexist bullshit too, because do they know each other? I don't know if they do. I'm going to assume that they don't. And based on my assumption that they don't, you're just assuming that this girl can't be into skateboarding?
Yeah, exactly.
You've just decided that, oh no, skating is just some fake bullshit she does for TV. She can't be a real skater. Maybe she is. Maybe she was really into Rob Dyrdek growing up and wanted to do some shit like that. You don't fucking know, dude. That is some bullshit.
And outside of wrestling, does anybody know Darby Allin for his skateboarding? Absolutely not. It's not like he's got a deal. It's not like he's got a TV program. It's not like he's been on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
And I appreciate her also pointing out the fact, and this is something I bring up about this motherfucker all the goddamn time. He can be as popular with the crowd as y'all fucking want him to be, and he can be as over his shit as y'all fucking want him to be. That doesn't change the fact that there are credible abuse allegations against him.
Yes. Yes.
That doesn't make him a good person.
But wrestling Twitter doesn't see it like that. They will support abuse allegations until it's their boy, until it's their favorite wrestler, and then all victim blaming.
And especially in this case, because Darby is contracted to the Good Boys company, and Cora Jade is part of the Evil Empire.
Yes, also very, very true. But there's also another wrinkle in this situation, because Darby's ex is also contracted to that evil machine, Priscilla Kelly, Gigi Dolan. I've not seen any of her comments on this particular situation, but I do recall that when the allegations were thrown at Darby, she came out in support of him. Saying that he was always the gentleman with her, so maybe there'll be a bit of friction there between Cora and Gigi backstage. There is more than one of these allegations, and we are still in a period where you believe the victims. You have to believe the victims. It was so brave of these people to come out in a time when wrestlers were looked at as untouchable. There was always this jobs for the boys, kayfabe, what happens behind the scenes stays behind the scenes. And it took a lot of bravery for all these victims to come out and say, no, this person was a scumbag and they did this to me. Just because it didn't go any further than the allegations and there weren't any prosecutions doesn't mean it still didn't happen. And doesn't mean that people like Darby can do what they want with impunity, because they still hurt a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, there's also a second lesson to be learned here, because both of them deleted the tweets. Y'all don't put it out there if you don't want it seen, because like you can delete shit. Yeah, you can delete that shit all you want, but we kept the receipts. We got the screenshots. Mm-hmm. Like, you miss us with that. You know, but there were a lot of fucked up things in wrestling socials this week and wrestling Twitter. So like, let's slide from one set of crazy allegations to some other crazy allegations. These ones involving Tay Conti and Sammy Guevara. And so Tay is one of a couple of people we're going to talk about today that have straight up deactivated their socials. Because of some unproven bullshit, Sammy Guevara had announced recently that he and his fiance Pam had called off their wedding and they were not going to be getting married anymore. And wrestling Twitter, being wrestling Twitter, immediately jumps to these conclusions that Sammy and Tay Conti are like some kind of an item, and that Tay is the reason that Sammy's not getting married to Pam anymore, and she's some kind of terrible homewrecker and all this other bullshit, to the point that Sammy's putting out like statements where he's just like, I shouldn't even have to like say any of this, but Pam and I came to this mutual decision months ago. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with anybody other than Pam and I, and like, y'all are fucking crazy. And I just yet again would like to tell people, mind your own fucking business.
Yes. I mean, this is so reminiscent of the Corey Graves and Carmella stuff that happened a couple of years ago, where wrestling fans stuck their nose in business that had no concern of them. Whether Tay Conti has been involved in that relationship breakup or not, it's not your fucking business. Tay Conti isn't there trying to raffle through your personals to see whether you are cheating on your partner. It's not your problem at all. And to force somebody who, up until a week ago, was the golden girl of female wrestling when it comes to AEW fans, to force somebody off Twitter because you are giving so much grief to her over something that you know nothing about, absolutely nothing about. You are a bunch of salty basement dwellers.
Like, seriously, you like bullshit ass cunts dusted off your Twitter fingers so that you could accuse this woman of home wrecking? Like, y'all, in 2021, we live in a world where, like, we have seen wrestlers who have been bullied into suicide over petty bullshit. Like, this is not your place. Because, like you just said, Max, regardless of what did or didn't happen, it ain't your fucking relationship.
Exactly. But it does kind of, for me, add a little bit more sass, I suppose, to the AEW is perfect storyline.
Because what'll piss me off? Go ahead.
Because 2 months before the alleged breakup, I think Sammy said they broke up in about October. 2 months before that breakup, AEW gave him TV time so he could propose to his girlfriend in the ring. That's some WWF bullshit right there. That's some macho man Miss Elizabeth stuff right there. So yeah, it's but even so, that is not your business. It's people break up all the time.
Now, what'll piss me off is if these smarky ass fans that AEW's got fuck around and start like influencing the storylines and the character development because they refuse to cheer for Tay anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That'll piss me the fuck off.
That's going to happen. Which is bullshit. I mean, I was never a huge Tay Conte fan in NXT. I thought she was incredibly green. The strides she's made whilst being in AEW has been amazing in terms of not just wrestling, but in terms of character work, to the point where she legitimately looked like a credible contender for Britt Baker. If that's ruined because a bunch of smarks online think that they have any right to get involved in people's relationships and accuse people of stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with them, that's going to be some sad, sad bullshit.
Yeah, like, Jesus, y'all. Like, what the fuck? And then in other Twitter deactivation news, Mags, hit him with the Jordan Grace stuff.
Yeah, I've actually got another one as well that I haven't mentioned to you. But yeah, wrestling Twitter, be wrestling Twitter. As we all know, Jordan Grace, one of the best female wrestlers in the world. Period. How she hasn't been signed by WWE or AEW is absolutely beyond me. But she's absolutely amazing, and she's married to one of the best wrestlers in the world, period, is again in Jonathan Gresham, current Ring of Honor champion. But he copped a lot of grief recently, and it's over the most petty thing that it could ever be, because he's not 6 foot, because he's 5 foot and some change. And he's been getting it's been kind of like snowballing to the point where Jordan felt that she had to come to his defense and say, look, this is ridiculous. The fact that heartism is a thing in wrestling is it's stupid. And then my compatriot, call him a wrestler, former boxer Anthony Ogogo, he replied to one of her tweets with a link to an article on parents.com saying 11 genius ways to stop a baby crying. And goddamn, that set the Twitter trolls off. So once he did that, pretty much every anonymous Twitter wrestling fan who thinks they're being clever and think they're being cool and edgy started having digs at Jordan Grace and Jonathan Gresham. And let's just roll back a little bit. This is a Jordan Grace who has released 3 books, I think, called the DMs of a wrestling Twitter, where she's called out people for the horrific stuff that they send to her. So she has got some thick skin when it comes to wrestling Twitter. She knows how to kind of roll with the punches. But wrestling Twitter forced her off, and she's deleted all her social media accounts again. I mean, Jordan Grace was a brilliant follow, so talented, not just in wrestling, in powerlifting. She was a girl boss in every sense of the world.
So, you know who else isn't 6 foot? Manny Pacquiao's not 6 foot. He could kill you. Mm-hmm. Floyd Mayweather's not 6 foot. He could kill you. Ronda Rousey's not 6 foot. She could fucking kill you. And if you think that she couldn't, you're lying to yourself.
Daniel Bryan's not 6 foot, and he will kick your face in.
I need to re-emphasize what I just said. Ronda Rousey could fucking kill you. And if you think that she couldn't, you are lying to yourself. If you're not a professionally trained fighter, if you are just an average Joe off the street, I don't care how many feet you got on her. I don't care how many pounds you got on her. She could fucking kill you. And if you think that she couldn't, you are lying to yourself. So get off your high horse. If you're one of these troglodyte ass motherfuckers who's just like, oh, well, you're not big enough to beat me. Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. I have seen many a small person take down many a large person. Height ain't got shit on training.
No, but it's just the entitlement of wrestling social media, and wrestling Twitter mainly, and probably wrestling Reddit as well. It's just, you feel as a group that you can make these comments to somebody and it not affect them. But it does. This is something he's had all his life. This is something he's had his all wrestling career. I mean, this is a guy who, if he was close to 6 foot, he would be wrestling for WWE. He would be wrestling for AEW. But because he's not,
one of the greatest in the world.
Yeah, he's so he can do things in a wrestling ring that many other wrestlers can't do. Same with Jordynne Grace. She's so super talented. And you smarky sons of bitches. And we're coming into Christmas as well, and I hate feeling like this, but Wrestling Twitter needs to take a long, hard look at itself and realize the damage it does with these ridiculous comments and these ridiculous tweets where you are being funny for clout when really you're just showing your whole asshole.
Troll culture in general is just gross, and it needs to go away.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
So... oh, man, you know, we hate to end it on such a downer, but, like, y'all wrestling social media people are just pieces of shit. And so, like, fuck y'all.
And we don't even end it on there. There's been even more that's come out today. So, this, again, AEW fans, you know the main songwriter and music producer for AEW, a guy called Mackie Ruckus. Mm-hmm. Super, super talented guy. His wife put a comment out on Twitter this week, and I'll read it verbatim. She put, "So pet peeve of mine, and this is just my opinion because Marky doesn't care, but AEW posts happy birthday messages to valets who have been there for about a week, but have yet to acknowledge the music guy on his birthday for 3 years. Come on now." Which, for me, I think is...
that's fair criticism.
It seems fair.
And it's also fair to have that feeling as his spouse, especially.
Exactly. And she got a lot of negative response to that, a lot of hate. She ended up being another person deleting tweets because of just the grief that she got. But then Marky, he chipped in and he said, "Twitter isn't real life. This picture is," and he puts a picture up of him and his wife on the wedding day. "So for all of you that decide to tweet those disgusting things at my wife today, I hope it filled the void in your empty lives. I hope you all experience a real relationship that doesn't involve a keyboard and your hands, pun intended." Oh, that's just the great perfect laugh. Comeback.
Great.
The perfect great comeback. Laugh. Yeah. But yet again, it's Wrestling Twitter thinking that they have this ordained right to abuse people. It's ridiculous. She had a legit criticism and she aired it in exactly the right way. This was horrific again by the wrestling social media and in particular AEW wrestling fans.
Yeah, like, I don't understand how we are still in this period where, like, any criticism against that company is taken as, like, blasphemy and, like, you must be excoriated upon the cross for thy has committed a terrible sin. Like, legitimate criticism is valid. This company has existed for 2 years now, 3 years now. Like, it is time to get off of this, like, oh, we must defend the middle coast. And that isn't even getting into the thin-ass skin of Twitter fingers McGee, Tony Khan, coming after Fox News, of all things, because they had the audacity to post an article about how between the Jaguars having an month and AEW not really being able to capitalize on initial excitement, and him coming back with, like, his bullshit about the ratings. And it's just like, bro, you've missed the forest for the trees. The point is what we've been saying all along. You have a great hardcore audience of slightly more than 1 million people. And that's awesome that you have a great hardcore audience of slightly more than 1 million people. But you still only have this audience of slightly more than 1 million people.
No matter how you massage the facts, no matter how much you interpret the demos and the ratings, the truth is you haven't got the same audience that you started with. You've got almost half of that audience.
You have not grown the way exactly. that you want to pretend you are. And that has nothing to do with ratings. Like, you can still be the highest rated show in your time slot. You can still be a guaranteed renew for TNT and all of that. Like, you can still be all of those things. All of those things can still be very much valid. And it can also still be true that your company has not grown the way that it should have.
Very, 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 very much so.
So, like, I mean, all of this is to say, in general, like, maybe y'all on Wrestling Twitter should get off the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
especially knowing that it's Christmas this week. Go and enjoy some time with your loved ones.
Touch a human being. Enjoy the touch of another. Breathe air that is outside air. Pet a dog or a cat, depending on which one is your thing. Or a reptile, if that's your jam. Like, whatever. You know, spend some time in nature or with an animal. Or, like, just experience some love in your life, y'all. Because, like, y'all are toxic as a motherfucker. And we just don't like it.
No, we definitely don't. It's draining. It's draining being a part of the community sometimes because you see all this negative, toxic energy. And it's more draining for us because we have to then talk about it on a podcast. We would love to be and singing the praises of Wrestling Twitter. Yeah, Wrestling Twitter have done something amazing for once, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at all, and that's sad. That's really
is.
Knowing the wrestlers that we've lost over the last couple of years, knowing the way that things like speaking out and the way that we've all been trapped due to this worldwide pandemic, you'd think the first thing we want to do is spread a bit of joy and happiness, but no, we seem to be stuck in this mire of just hate and. Yeah, it's tiring. It's absolutely tiring.
It's just really gross. So, you know, but on that note, we're going to get out of here. Next week, Mags and I will hit y'all for Wrestle Kingdom. And they're calling it, what, day one this year? They're doing a New Year's, WWE's doing a New Year's show.
Day one. 2 weeks later, I think, is Royal Rumble. Yeah.
Yeah, but so we'll talk.
That day one card looks pretty stacked up to now.
Yeah, we'll talk Wrestle Kingdom. We'll talk day one. We'll talk, you know, maybe a little bit of Royal Rumble prognostication. We'll hit y'all with some good year end stuff. In the meantime, Mags, tell them where they can find you, good brother.
Yep. So again, I want to give a shout out to Rance. Much love, sir. Hopefully we'll hear from you again in the next few days. But yeah, you can follow me on the social media. Not that you'd want to after my clear disdain for you lot. But you can follow me on Twitter at PomfatherMags, where I am involved in way too many podcasts for one human being to be involved in. But you'll find all links there on my Twitter feed.
Make sure you give Mags a follow and make sure you listen to all of his great content, especially Badlands, because it's just some great shit. You can follow my good missing brother Rance, who I love very much, on Twitter at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. You can follow me on Twitter at Dr. S'mores. You can follow the show on Twitter at Outsiders Edge CS. As always, we are a part of the Chairshot Radio Network at Chairshot Media, where we invite you to enjoy your day the Chairshot way and always use your head. And remember, y'all, we here at the Outsider's Edge are some increasingly less young gentlemen just doing everything we can trying to make it out here in this world. And sometimes we're going to hit you with some of the good stuff, like Johnny Wrestling's going to be a great dad, and we hope that he has a lot of fun just touring the indies for a while. And other times, we're going to hit you with that necessary shit, like, get the fuck off of Twitter with your nasty asses. But no matter what, we're just out here chasing our dreams, and y'all have got to respect that. Because if you don't, well, Merry Christmas, bitch. We still don't give a fuck. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.